This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, and this is show number 283 for June 22nd, 2008. Thank you for downloading my show. It's an interesting show this week because I normally have a co-host who sits with me, E, and he's not available this week. He's apparently left town somewhere. Don't know where he is, but he emailed me and said he will be back next week. So when he emailed me that, I figured, like, what am I going to do to get through this show? You know, a long time ago, I used to host the show all by myself, that's certainly something I'm able to do. What I did was, all of a sudden, I just decided to make a bunch of phone calls and get some folks on the show. So I have a record-breaking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, including the legendary boxing promoter, Don King. So this is definitely going to be an interesting show. So I don't know if I want to just get right into this, but before I do, I got a little bit few house cleaning things I need to do. A couple weeks ago, I had on Josh from Astro Gaming to talk about the A40 headsets, and he gave me a couple to give away. I gave one away in a name of the game a couple weeks ago, and then last week I completely forgot to give away one of the A40s. So I'm going to go ahead and do that right now. The winning gamer tag is Fuse Monster. Fuse Monster, congratulations! I'll be in touch with you to get your A40 headset, which is a great device and. Good luck there. So anyway, that's what else we got to talk about. You know, normally E and I have a very structured show. We go over the news. We go over all the elements that are going on in Xbox land. It's getting to be a very interesting time because we're a little less than a month away from E3, which is going to be down in LA. E3 is a private industry invite only event, and we'll be doing all sorts of stuff down there. I'm sure we'll have some announcements and so on and so forth. I'll have full coverage as usual. For the past many years, I've been recording the Microsoft keynote and posting that as part of the show, so you'll have that available. I'm going to make arrangements for that. So that's coming up in about a month. So we're awfully busy working on a lot of cool stuff that I can't talk about now, but we'll talk about very soon. So some of the news is coming out this week. I don't even know where to start. it is just absolutely crazy. Some of the games I'm playing, Battlefield Bad Company, which is a lot of fun. That releases this week. We've got, in fact, let me go through who we have on the show for interviews. I've got the Platform Bias guys, Justin Roby and John Noonan, are gonna come by to talk about their brand new podcast. They work over at the Microsoft Game Studios. Mark LaMea, who's the studio head for Treyarch, he's going to talk about COD World at War. There's a brand new trailer that's available now on the Xbox Live Arcade. You can go ahead and download that, and it's, of course, all over the web. I talked about Jamie Keane. I've got him available. Alex Seropian, Hail to the Chimp, new game coming out this week, and Alex also worked on a few other games that you may have heard about. I'll tell you all about those. And then we're going to we go into Diane Wu, who's the lead producer for WALL-E, which is WALL-E, the new game coming out. We've got a new movie coming out. She's going to drop by and talk about the game. I've got a couple of guys from Neversoft. Alan and Aaron are going to talk about Guitar Hero, the Aerosmith edition. They're going to talk about that. And then I'll finish it off with the legendary Don King. So, so hopefully I'm going to try to do as little work as possible in terms of, you know, doing the actual talking by myself. Instead, I've decided to just bring in a cavalcade of stars, gaming stars and otherwise, to talk about what they have. So why don't we go ahead and start the show right here? And we're going to kick it off with Justin and John from the Platform Bias guys. Joining me in my studio right now are two-thirds of the brand new podcast from Microsoft Gaming Studio. It's called Platform Bias. Gentlemen, why don't you introduce yourselves?
My name's Justin Roby.
I'm John Noonan.
You guys don't have that.
We're not used to making eye contact, and we still talk over each other quite a bit.
So you guys have a brand new podcast. First of all, let's back up a little bit. You guys work at Microsoft Game Studios, yep. MGS, mm-hmm. Not Metal Gear Solid.
No.
you work at Microsoft Game Studios, and about a week and a half ago, you started doing your own podcast.
Yeah.
So first of all, congratulations and welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thanks for your help and advice and getting it going.
No, yeah. it's been great. I mean, it's great to see somebody from Microsoft Game Studios doing something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've talked to a lot of folks over there and you know, had them over the years, had interviews on my shows, but now you guys are doing your own. What can we expect from the show?
Well,
A lot of things. I'm actually pretty excited about what we're going to have with future episodes. Things that you'll see is you'll hear more in depth about how we kind of do things over at MGS. So,
right.
We're going to be talking about some of the end game for a couple of games that are coming up, like Two Human and Viva Pinata.
When you say end game,
so about kind of the process for
rewind. We're testers.
Yeah, we're testers.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably a key part. Yeah, we're both testers over at. MGS, and when I talk about in-game, I'm talking about the last portion of actually shipping the title before it goes gold and goes out to you guys out.
Because people that don't know that testing is a critical part of this.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are making sure that the character does what the character's supposed to do, the story goes where it's supposed to go, the achievement unlocks,
all
those little things that go
That's
into...
That's an important one, achievements.
Yes, yeah. That makes people angry.
It sure does. But what are you working on right now? What titles are you working on right now?
So I'm working on Two Human,
okay.
Which ships August 19th.
Right
so
on.
That's going to be one of the talks.
Right.
And John,
I can't actually talk about what I'm working on.
So
right
you're working
now.
On a super top secret title.
Super top secret, yeah.
That's cool.
So hopefully in the relatively near future, I'll be able to talk more about what I'm working on. And then Jeff Kafer, our third, is...
Right.
Working on Fable 2. Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, just to be clear, I invited Jeff, but he had a prior commitment today.
Yep.
So he wasn't able to make it. But he's I wanted to get him in here as well. But we got like I said, I got two-thirds of your team in here. But, I listened to the first show. It sounded great. You guys have a second show. What's your frequency going to be?
It's once every 2 weeks for now. We kind of want to see where the content takes us. And we want to be reliable. I mean,
we don't want to overcommit to I think eventually we'd like to see it be every week, but we're shipping games right now, and this is summertime is busy.
You guys have real jobs, like me.
Yeah,
we absolutely have real jobs. We are not professional podcasters. We are, we're game testers. We're both test leads. So we have to ship games, and we want to make sure that we're reliable about
right.
when we put out that podcast.
Right.
So for now, it's every 2 weeks. If we get a good response, as we get more comfortable with it, I think it's likely that you'll see us go to every week, but. For now, every 2 weeks.
But it's already picking up steam, which is exciting. So, some of the stuff that we have coming up in the future as well is we have Dennis Dyack, who's going to be on the show to talk a little bit about Two Human.
Yep.
Ken Lobb is going to be on the show.
Ken's always great. I need to get him on my show.
Yeah.
He's been great.
We're going to talk about, some of the things we'll talk about with Ken are Gears of War,
mm-hmm.
Banjo-Kazooie, and then he's also going to talk a little bit about Two Human. We're going to try and get some of the new pillar leads on there. Kuda Sonata from mm-hmm. Gears of War, mm-hmm. hopefully Bonnie Ross. So we're just trying to bring it from inside MGS.
Sure.
So people can see what we do there. I mean, you do an awesome job with talking about what's going on with Xbox, and we want to give people an insight into what's going on with
games.
Yeah,
and that's the way people should look at this, is that your podcast and your show is really MGS-focused. I mean, I've done a lot of MGS content in the past, and I'll continue to work with you guys, and you're welcome to come on the show anytime you want.
Oh, we'd love to.
But it's really, you guys are for folks that are really interested in kind of going a little bit deeper. You know, that's what you do on your show. You know, you guys are hardcore testers, which unto itself is kind of crazy.
Yeah, and that'll be the other thing, too, is that...
I mean, our realm is games. We really want to talk about the games. We're not experts on hardware. We don't test hardware. We test games. So we want to give... We're still figuring out the balance of our show. Our first show had a lot of test stuff. Our second show didn't have as much test stuff, and we really want to get that feedback from the community as to what they're into. But I think right now it's probably going to be like generally about a third test-oriented stuff, a third general MGS-oriented stuff, and then probably a third us as gamers stuff because we are avid gamers.
Now, we like to play.
And so you've got the third for test, third MGS, third, gamers. Where does the Hot Pocket conversation fit in?
Oh, man. So Hot Pocket conversation. So sorry to the people in Norway and mostly Europe who seem to not like our Hot Pocket
enchilada.
Maybe
they don't have Hot Pockets over
maybe
there.
Maybe not. And, that's probably better for them.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
They're a much healthier group of folks for not having Hot Pockets.
Having the Lutefisk or whatever it is versus Hot Pockets. Lutefisk Hot Pocket. Now, there's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So definitely our second podcast is a little bit more freeform. We wanted to get people a better understanding of who we are. We definitely dove into testing and some fairly serious content in the first episode, and we wanted to loosen up for the second one just so people get to know who we are. But I suspect that we will our format will probably follow more of the first podcast.
I mean, I don't know. I just like to show that we have fun. I mean,
right.
you know, you have a good time doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw the whole thing with Deadliest Catch where they
my inside Xbox videos.
Oh, man,
videos.
They were mean to you.
They were mean.
They were mean.
They were mean. And that's the stuff that – you didn't see the stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor.
I was like, wow, Major Nelson is actually – I was surprised. I was like, wow, if somebody was telling me to go up there, I'd be like, you know, listen, buddy. You can go get your own game out of the fish net.
Out of the fish. Well, yeah, those guys, you know, with the Deadliest Catch on Inside Xbox, the video that was up this past week, it was fun working with the guys. But, yeah, we do have fun.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, you know, we do get, contrary to what some people think, okay, all right, we do get paid to play games.
Yeah.
Especially you guys, because you're testers.
Yeah.
You know, you get paid to play and, frankly, sometimes break games, right?
Mostly break games.
Mostly break games. The other thing, too, is that one of the things that's another key part of is we want to kind of dispel the rumor about or the understanding that really what test is just eating pizza and playing games. I mean,
right.
We do some complicated – I mean, most of us have CS degrees.
Mm-hmm.
We write
That's
code.
Computer science.
Yeah, yes, computer thank science. You. Thank you. Yeah, not degrees in, you know, cooking supplementaryism or whatever, you know. Okay, that was bad.
Justin and myself, our title is both lead software development engineer mm-hmm. in test.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certainly a wide spectrum of testers in the industry, and we can't really speak to what test does at other companies.
Sure.
It's certainly possible that in some places there's a lot of pizza eating and game playing. We're very methodical about our approach. We engineer test.
Yeah, that's actually something that's interesting to me because all the testers that I've known working not only at MGS but you know here at Xbox and across the company, a lot of people think you guys will sit there and just grab the controller and you know, play through a level of a game. You guys actually write tools to simulate that
Absolutely.
So that you can simulate you know this character picking up and going across the world or loading or all these different things. It's really interesting. You guys actually write custom tools to do these things for you.
Yeah, we actually I've actually fixed bugs in my game.
Yeah, that's usually more for our developers, but yeah, absolutely. When it gets down to the last minutes, we've done that.
You guys
too.
Will crack the hood and go in and say, all right, I'm going to fix this.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, we need to get this build out today, and if your developers are across the world, you can lose a day or you can fix it yourself. So occasionally, that's not really our job, but occasionally we've done that
You've
as
been
well.
called into action.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. Automation is a large part of what we do, and that's really automating the testing. So we end up writing a lot of code that would do sort of, you know, simulates the person picking up the controller and playing for hours.
So what are some of the games that you've worked on in the past that people would know, stuff that has shipped?
I worked on Fable the Lost Chapters, Rise of Legends, Age of Empires 3.
So you've done PC work as well.
Yeah, I've done PC work as well. I've done, I also did PGR 3. So I was out there with the boys at Bazaar,
mm-hmm.
helping them with their build process and stuff. And then now to Human.
I haven't been doing it as long as Justin. I worked on Crackdown,
mm-hmm.
which is
that is one of my favorite games. You know, that's
yes.
Thank you. That warms my heart.
That is a huge favorite of people on this show.
Crackdown is a great game in that it didn't have a lot of buzz coming up to it, and then a lot of people bought it, and
it hit you in the face like a shovel.
Absolutely loved it.
Yeah,
I still get lots of people say, you know, having Crackdown is great.
Well, when I, you know, because I got the from Real Worlds, I got the audio, and I remember I put that audio up on the Orb audio.
Yeah, I actually took that Orb audio from your website, and I think I had it as like my new mail sound.
Yeah, everybody has that. I mean, it's great that, and you know, it's so yeah, that was a huge, huge favorite of mine. E isn't here today; he's on vacation, but he loved that, and it was we pulled our hair out finding all the orbs. So, give me an example of how you automated something in Crackdown.
So a good example of how we automated stuff in Crackdown, I owned objects and object interactions, at least for part of the process.
That's such an antiseptic
I know,
thing.
I know.
Object
right,
interaction.
Like playing the game. So we wrote code that would basically take a character,
mm-hmm.
give him all the different weapons, try all the different levels, because you could level up your character
right.
in the game, and shoot objects at 5 feet, 10 feet, 15 feet, all, you know, 100 feet away. And then we graphed the damage that was done to those objects. So a lot of this time, this stuff is done in complicated code, and it's hard for a designer to then look at that and really get a feeling for how the weapons are balanced and how they're interacting. So that's an example. I did a similar thing for, you know, how far can the character throw objects versus how heavy the objects were.
So a lot of physics-based stuff.
Well, Crackdown's a very physics-heavy game, so we spend a lot of time actually testing the physics. Just placement. I think there's 15,000 objects just sitting around in the game world in Crackdown. So we wrote tools to make it faster for us to just go from object one to object two to object three, so we could go around and make sure a crate isn't floating 2 feet off the ground, or there's not a lamppost buried halfway inside a wall.
Right.
We had a lot of other stuff. We had performance automation. I didn't work on that, but the character would run around the city, basically spinning in circles, shooting rockets at everything that he saw.
That's pretty much what a lot of players do today.
Which is pretty much how people play the game, and it's a great stressor for the streaming system as it's streaming in new levels, and just the GPU, the graphics processing unit in general, because you're kicking off explosions.
Boom, boom, boom.
So yeah, that's a great example of the automation that we do.
Tell me about some of yours.
Well, actually, mine's I'm actually on the opposite end. So actually, I'm a more
you do it all manually.
No, I'm more design focused. So
okay,
I do a lot of the stuff that I do, like with Fable, I worked with integration, and what I mean by integration is how the parts worked, and then I gave design feedback on how those things happened and what I think would have made it better. For Two Human, I'm actually when you look at some of the RPG systems, the skill trees, I'm the guy who helped place and put them in the order that they go down, so they make more sense, so they're more fun.
Mm-hmm.
I ran the balance team so when we do the game, to make sure that this weapon isn't too crazy, damage feels right. So I do a lot of touchy feely testing.
So
I work with the designers.
So that's actually really interesting, because so people don't think that maybe test is making sure the game works and you talked about the crazy, but you're actually impacting the game, saying, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense to be here. It shouldn't be over here. So you start having that discussion.
Yeah, and actually I spend a lot of time with Fable, but specifically with Two Human, just over at Silicon Knights, working with Henry, who's their lead designer, just helping them make the game feel better. So, I mean, with design, I mean, test in general, I mean, you can see all the way from like where John is.
Right.
We have those manual testers as well who just are like, we have a guy named Rasan who is an amazing, the guy will find bugs.
You give him a game, he'll break it.
He'll break it
48 different ways,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
very quickly.
Yeah, and then we have people like me who are more of the design oriented individuals who are actually helping make the game more fun. So
people specialize in
Mine's
our test
coolest.
Group.
Yeah. All right, there you go. People, says you.
People specialize in our test group. We Jeff Kafer, our third member of Platform Biased, is a great audio tester.
Right.
He comes from an audio background. And
that's why I wanted to get him in here.
But yeah, well, he'd love to look at your setup, I'm sure.
Yeah, he hasn't been here. He hasn't been here twice.
Yeah.
So he's a great audio tester. We have people that are great developers, people who have great design feedback. We have people that are really just great organizers and facilitators of testing. So we really cover a lot of spectrum.
But I have to ask, so you guys spent, like, for instance, with Silicon Knights or with Crackdown, you find the bugs, you're fixing the bugs, you're making sure things are working. Once it goes gold, and I'm holding up like a finished game, once it's done, the last thing you want to do is play it, right?
Oh, no. Oh, man. No, I love.
Really?
Like, I have 980 points in PGR3.
Wow.
I have finished Fable 2. I mean, finished Fable multiple times post the release. Age of Empires, I went on and played online with people because, I mean, you could pwn them, they're noobs for a while.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
Just, it's good for the it's good for the soul. And then for Two Human, I'll go get 1,000 points.
Okay.
It certainly helps to work on games that you love.
And right,
Crackdown's a great example. I ran out, I found all 500 orbs or, agility orbs and all 300 hidden orbs.
Yeah, you did it probably in about 15 minutes, right?
I probably had an easier time of it than a lot of
people. Because you spent so much time in that world.
Now, there's a funny story about the orb thing, though, with Andrew Marthaler, with people who actually had retail copies and couldn't find orbs, and then he would look at the save games and actually tell them which orbs they missed using
our
tools.
I think we had some higher ups that really wanted, that couldn't find like the last orb and actually.
I never saw that tool. What the hell?
It's not well publicized, but I'm pretty sure that a person or two got some help.
But that's an example of an interesting tool that was built specifically, to look at the game data and troubleshoot.
Yep,
absolutely.
Because the last thing you want to do is, if the tool goes through, you want to make sure it says, you had found 499 orbs. Wait a minute, the achievement can be only unlocked with 500.
Yeah.
Whoops. Just making sure that stuff is in place.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I have over 1,000 points in Crackdown. I think out of 1,250, I'm at 1,125 or something like that.
Right.
There's a couple of the DLC achievements I still haven't finished.
Right.
And I've got 1,000 points out of Scene It, Lights, Camera, Action, which is the last game I worked on.
Right. Now, are you going to be working on Fable 2?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be helping out with Fable 2 a little bit, looking at some more design.
It looks great, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I would be excited to play that game. Yeah. I am looking forward to having it in your hands out there.
Yeah.
You guys are going to dig it. It is funny.
Yeah.
I laugh at some of the random things those characters.
I've been purposefully avoiding playing Fable 2 just to save it for the end. Because sometimes if you play a game that's really early, I mean, it's unfinished.
Yeah.
And you can spoil parts of the story or the experience. And I did the same thing with Two Human. I actually just first played Two Human. I mean, I've seen it, people working on it around me for a long time, but I just first sat down and played it last week and actually had a really great time.
Right.
That's right, you did.
I think that it's possible that it would, you know, I could have spoiled it for myself. So I'm doing the same thing with Fable 2. I'm holding off till they're a little bit closer to being done so I can sit down and run through the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I get accused of that all the time, is that, you know, I don't like to play the games until they're done because I want to see what it's like. I've played those games where you're going through a level and there's a box that says insert art here, or there's a vista that isn't complete yet. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of there's all these things are grids. You know, the wire mesh. So, and it really detracts away from it. It pulls the curtain behind. You know, you can see the magician, and you don't want to do that.
Well, part of the end game is a lot of design oriented tweaks to how the combat feels and how the jumping feels, and depending on the game, and that's, you know. People will often say that the last 5 or 10% of work that goes into a game makes it from an okay to a good game to a great game.
Right.
Or it doesn't, or it fails.
Right.
So playing it before it's had that last bit of polish on it, you really can feel it. It doesn't feel right.
So a lot of people ask, you know, I get this email, you know, how did I get into gaming? I want to ask you guys, how did you get in? What was your path that brought you into testing?
Oh.
Your educational path.
So,
you know,
I'm a computer science major. No, I'm a computer science major, and so I was, you know, doing programming in college.
Right.
And an avid game player, but, you know, some part of me thought, you know, that's just too lofty of a goal to get into the game industry. I love playing video games. I love writing code, but geez, that seems like a small group of very talented people. And I got into testing. I got out of college and I submitted a job application and I had an interview and I was in, and, you know, it's been, I haven't really looked back since. So that those things absolutely aided me, and you know, it turns out if you work hard and know your stuff, then absolutely it's totally attainable.
Right.
So I went to school at a military school out on the East Coast.
Actually. Where? Which one? Do I know?
Norwich University. It's the oldest private military school.
Is that in Vermont?
Yep.
Okay, I know where it is.
Yeah, so I went to Norwich University.
I did not. I grew up in Connecticut, but I have friends who went there. So
I was working on electrical engineering and computer science.
Right.
I actually went to work for IBM and Lotus because Jeff Pappas, who used to be the CEO of Lotus, actually graduated from Norwich.
Right.
So I was a Lotus Notes Domino developer, and then I got shipped out here to Seattle, where nobody uses Lotus Notes and Domino because it's Microsoft country.
Right.
So anyway, they ended up letting me go.
Ouch.
Yeah. So
I got fired first.
Yeah. So I got fired first, and then I was selling some Dreamcast games to a guy named Mark McNulty, who was the hardware guy for the first Xbox, hardware test guy, and he says, "You know what? I'll throw you a bone." So I went and worked to Volt, who does contracting work, and then put in for the Mark McNulty job, and then got hired at Windows Media Player.
Right.
So then I did Windows Media Player, and then transferred internally, got hired full-time, transferred internally over to games, and that's what I do now. So
we have probably an equal balance of people that came straight out of college into our group, and people who got into it as a contractor. I was a contractor for a little while as well. And just sort of got their foot in the door and proved themselves to be great, great testers and, you know, great analytical thinkers. That's what, you know, we really value.
What's the
Microsoft
key to a great tester?
I think it's the ability to break down problems, to look at something and say, well, I could break it this way, I could break it this way, I could break it this way. A common first-time tester interview question is, you know, here's this, you know, we have these orange styrofoam cups at Microsoft.
Right.
Here's a styrofoam cup. How would you test that? And it throws a lot of people off because they're getting ready to say, well, I'm going to try to equip four swords. And all of a sudden you're asking them to test a styrofoam cup. But
what's the answer?
Well, the answer is there's lots and lots of answers, right? Like there's a good tester can tell you 50 ways that they would break that styrofoam cup.
And the other thing, too, is they think about outside of the box as well. Like, you know, they talk about things like safety or, well, the styrofoam, you know, if we're going to test styrofoam cups, what if we end up colonizing Mars? You know, how does this work in a low-grav environment? Stuff like, I mean, it really...
There's more border cases.
There's more border cases, you know, but the thing is that it's really the ability to think outside the box, and then there's a lot of creativity that exists there. You know, you got to be able to look at something really complex and think, what can I do to this game to make it break? I mean, when we get down to the end of a game, some of the things that we're doing to make it crash, I mean, like the developers get this and go, really? You know?
You tried that?
You tried that and this broke this? You did what to my game? And it's like, well, yeah, no, it crashes. And they're like, wow. You know? So it's all about it's creativity. And then at the same time for games, it's about passion. It's about what we work on. We have a great time.
Yeah.
And I know you know this, but we have a great time doing where we, you know, doing the job that we do and where we work.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty much awesome.
We're very fortunate.
Yeah, we're very fortunate.
There's no question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's like we want people who share that passion because, you know, there's a lot of feeding off of that mm-hmm. exists, you know, when you all do that together. And then, you know, you got to feel good and brag about it.
There you go.
When we work with incredibly smart people, we're surrounded by very talented creative and analytical people at the same time. And the best testers can mix the creative with the systematic and the analytical. And that's a quality that's tough to come by. I mean, there's a lot of people who are very creative or vice versa who are very analytical and systematic, but the best testers have a nice mix of both.
So this is just a little sampling of what you'll get on Platform Biased.
Uh-huh.
And you can download the podcast at platformbiased.com.
Yep.
And I will link off to that now since I need to. I always ask, and I know you post on the site, what's your gamer tags?
I'm Roby1.
I'm Jay Noon.
Jay Noon. So I will make sure I link off to those, and I'll link off to the show. And it's first of all, congratulations on your new show. And
thank you very much. Thanks for having us on your show.
No, it's my pleasure. You guys have something really great to offer, and I'm really excited to have another show out there to, you know, especially from MGS. And you guys are welcome to come back anytime, and we'll look forward to looking at all your games when they ship, especially the one that you're not talking about.
Yeah. and you listen up, you Deadliest Catch guys. Next time you hurt Major Nelson, yeah, there you we'll be there.
Awesome. Thanks, Larry.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.
Mark Lamia, studio head for Treyarch, is on the line with me. Mark, thanks for joining me.
It's great to be here.
So this is really exciting. Call of Duty World at War, brand new trailer up on the Xbox Live Marketplace to download. Tell us about Call of Duty World at War.
Well, first off, we're real excited to finally be able to tell people about it. It's we've been in development now, for over a year and a half, and just excited to be able to share it with everybody. So for the first time ever, Call of Duty, we're taking you to the Pacific, and we're going to show you, you know, when you see the trailer, it's not just about, you know, those jungle environments and those locations, and we'll show you all that stuff in the trailer, but it's about the new Imperial Japanese Army that you're going to be fighting, and they were just a different kind of fighting force than anything anyone had ever seen, and we've been working on the gameplay around that, and it's really fresh, it's really exciting, it's really new. The guys have been, the guys are just excited to have it out there. And we've been spending a lot of time on competitive multiplayer, but also cooperative multiplayer. So, for the first time ever, with Call of Duty, you're going to be able to finally play with a friend. You'll be able to throw them the controller and go split screen with them locally, or you'll be able to play up to four players over the internet.
That's really exciting. I mean, I know people really are looking forward to some co-op over Xbox Live with the Call of Duty series. So this is really, really exciting for COD fans.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things about the Call of Duty experience right now online, and we know how popular Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare is, you know, we love the ability to be able to get experience points and rank up and have all those features. And you know, we love it so much that we brought it over to the co-op. So, no matter whether you're playing competitive multiplayer or you're playing, you know, cooperatively, you'll be able to gain experience. And when you're playing in the multiplayer, the competitive multiplayer version, you'll be able to translate that experience to ranking up and getting new perks and all kinds of stuff. So, we're blowing it out on that front. We really, everyone here is playing it. It's a lot of fun, but on the multiplayer side, you know, we totally dig what Call of Duty 4 multiplayer brought to that. We're going to keep all that, you know, structure in place. We love it, and we're going to be adding on some combined forces gameplay with vehicles, so be able to go into, there'll be specific maps that have been tailor-made for having vehicles, and the guys are totally stoked about that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
What was it like to do to shift the sights of the Call of Duty series to the Pacific Theater?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What was it like to shift the focus of the Call of Duty series to the Pacific Theater, like we're going to see in World at War?
Yeah, well, it was a lot of work, you know, technologically to pull all that together, the jungle environments. And then what we did is we introduced some new weaponry, which you're going to see in the trailer as well, with the flamethrower and fire destruction. And introducing that and being able to, you know, destroy the natural environment around you and have that stuff catch fire, that stuff was all, you know, a lot of technology, a lot of game design that goes into that and making that work for all the players. But we did extensive amount of research into what it means to go to the Pacific. Like I was mentioning before, the Imperial Japanese Army, they fought a completely different way, and you'll see some of the tactics that they used in the trailer. You know, these guys they weren't a traditional fighting force like what the army was used to fighting in Europe. You know, that was a more conventional fighting force, something we were more accustomed to. This is really the first serious guerrilla warfare that was going on. They would entrench into their environment. They'd have snipers climb into trees and just tie themselves to trees so in case they fell out, they wouldn't kill themselves. And they'd stay there for days on end, and they'd just wait for guys stalking Marines. So Marines, you know, they would come out of, they'd dig holes, and they'd stay in those, and they called them spider holes. They'd come up out of the ground at you. It was like, you know, it rivals any kind of horror movie from what I've seen. The Marines are completely freaked out. It was like they didn't know where these guys were coming from, above, below. You'll see a scene in there where these Marines, they kind of come across, you know, what looks like a group of dead Japanese and they army, and they don't know what's happened. And they just, you know, well, you'll see what happens. But anyways, it's like just surprising on all fronts to hear about all these accounts and all these things that happened. It was like, wow, this is all kinds of new experiences and gameplay that we could, you know, dive into. And so the team really, really went after it.
You also got, I mean, the bar is pretty high because COD4, you know, it unseated the legendary Halo 3 from the, you know, the top 10 list over Xbox Live. So the pressure's on.
Yeah, no, totally. You know, we love Call of Duty for Modern Warfare so much so that we wanted to use that engine, and we have all that great technology and feature set to sort of build on for this one. And we started this game 2 years ago, and we got high expectations for ourselves, and so we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to do the best work we've ever done with this one. And a lot of these guys have been making Call of Duty games for a long time, and they really want to just make the best, you know, the best game they can. And that's really everyone's marching orders on this one. And you know, I'm really happy with what the team's doing. And I'm like I said, everyone's really excited to be able to share it with everyone, since everyone's been speculating for so long about what's next for Call of Duty. And we're just excited to be able to share it with everyone.
All right. Well, the next question is, when's it going to be available?
You will be able to play it this holiday season.
So stay tuned for that, Mark Lammy. I appreciate your time. You know, I know people are really excited about the game, and if you haven't downloaded the trailer yet, it's available right now on the Xbox Live Marketplace. Mark, maybe we'll talk to you as we get closer to launch.
I'd love to.
Thanks so much.
All right, thanks. Take care.
Joining me on the line from Heavy Iron Studios is Diane Wu, who's the lead producer for the Xbox 360 version of WALL-E. Diane, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us, WALL-E, which is a Pixar film coming out very soon, it was game-based on it. Tell us about it.
So WALL-E is going to be a great movie and a great game. It's robots, it's space, it's laser guns, it's a love story, it's a story of discovery. And we've taken that and we've thrown it into this vast, robust gameplay. We have 10 different story levels. We have over 4 different modes of multiplayer, from 2 to 4 players. We have 3 different player characters. It's a huge gameplay experience, and it all takes place in this beautifully, beautiful, beautiful Pixar world.
Now, have you seen the film yet?
I have seen the film, actually.
Yeah, so I mean, people are really excited about this film. What was it like to work on this, and when did you start working on the game? Was it simultaneously when the movie started?
We initially started working on the game way back in summer 2006 when Pixar pitched it to us. So that's when we initially started, you know, doing the prototyping, figuring out the initial gameplay design and really where we wanted to take it. And then from there, you know, working with Pixar, we have a great working relationship with them. So it's really been a smooth and fluid process. You know, the Pixar is very creative. We're very creative. So, you know, it's just that bounce back and forth to make, you know, of course, a really great movie and, of course, a really great game.
Where does this take place relative to the story in the movie? Is it before the movie story, after? Does it extend the story?
We follow the main plot of the movie. But, of course, you know, movies are only an hour and a half long. And to make a really viable gameplay, we have to extend that experience. So we let you play key points from the movie, but we also expand on them. Within our game, we have one level that you never see in the film. We have these environments that, you know, Pixar helped us create that are really unique just to our game.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Now, let's talk about the co-op features.
So co-op exists in our multiplayer mode. We have a full multiplayer mode. Basically, I like to call it, it's a spinning plates mode. It's a stay alive as long as you can, where you have to work with your friend together to stop clocks, stop timers, and protect yourself. Also, we have multiplayer content where you can work as a team to go against another team in a head-to-head match.
So I also want to be clear, this is not over Xbox Live. This is all local on one box,
yeah,
correct?
This is all local.
That sounds great, because I know a lot of families like to play locally, and so a lot of, you know, it's great to see that. Are there any unique features for the Xbox 360 version?
The Xbox 360 version, actually, it has one unique multiplayer mode for it, the Capture the Flag mode. Mm-hmm. That's 2 to 4 players. And also what you'll see is it has a couple of secret levels, mm-hmm. A couple of secret collectibles that only exist in there, and it has this great these environments that we like to call tumblers, where you could turn the whole world upon itself, so you can make unique paths for you you've never played before.
Now, tell us about the achievements, because that's one thing everyone always is excited about, is achievements.
So achievements, like everything, if you do something unique or I'm trying to think of the right word. Unique, very extra, special, you know, you get achievements, gamer points. It's also, we've done a nice little thing where we've hidden some very unique Pixar-esque things in the world to get achievements.
Ah, that's good to know. Hopefully we'll come across some of those. Now, also, tell us about demos. Is there going to be an Xbox 360 demo coming along anytime soon?
There will be an Xbox 360 demo, and it's coming out very, very soon.
Very, very soon. I also read there's also a Games for Windows version, correct?
Yep, of course there are. We have two of those. There's a standard one, an exclusive VIP demo. And you can get them at www.wallyvideogame.com.
So, Dan, it sounds like a fun little game based on what's probably going to be a hit film. Since you've seen it, does it feel like a hit?
you know, Pixar, they know movies, and I really enjoyed the film. And I think everyone from, you know, little kids to grandmas and grandpas are going to just love it.
That's a lot of fun. Wally, available on the Xbox 360. It's also available on other platforms as well, correct?
Correct. We have it's over 8 different platforms that are available on.
So it's going to be everywhere. Diane Wu, lead producer for the Xbox 360 version of Wally, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
From Neversoft, I have Alan and Aaron. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having us. Thanks for having us.
So you guys are here because we've got Guitar Hero Aerosmith coming out very, very soon, towards the end of the month, June 29th. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect in this title.
Well, I think what you're really going to get is you're going to learn a lot about the band. It's, you know, it's a Guitar Hero game, obviously. They kept a lot of the same cool stuff. You know, there's a lot of, you know, good new songs in there, which people are going to want to play. A lot of people are really hungry for new songs to play. But we kind of took it a step further, and we wanted to really do, like, a complete Aerosmith experience. So, you know, we motion-captured the band, and we face-scanned them, and we remodeled them. And the career mode tries, you know, its best to follow an almost 40-year career. There's, like, interviews with the band, and then we had them pick guest artists that they wanted to play with, and there's a lot of other cool music in there, too. It's, like, the full-on, like, behind-the-music experience of Aerosmith.
So it's the full Aerosmith thing going on here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of like a, you know, interactive behind-the-music sort of thing, you know? Like, you get to, you learn about the history of the band, you get to sort of follow their career from the beginning of it all the way up until, you know, some of their biggest shows that they've ever played. And like Alan said, you get like this cool little education on Aerosmith along the way.
Now, what can we expect in terms of, I mean, obviously we're going to have Aerosmith songs all the way, you know, as we go through here, but I assume you guys have also matched some of their more famous venues.
Yeah, one of the things we did was we recreated the venue that they signed their, you know, their big record deal in, which was Maxis Kansas City. It was an old club that was in New York back in the 70s and very early 80s. It was really a hot spot for all the up-and-coming artists. You know, Andy Warhol used to hang out there, and obviously Aerosmith and some of their contemporaries used to all hang out at this place. And it was where Clive Davis signed their first contract. It's like some sort of a deli now in New York, but you know, we sort of went back and tried to find as many photos and stuff as we could to try and recreate the venue.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty exciting to go back there for some people who listen to the show, and I have a lot of older listeners. They probably remember that venue.
I actually, you know, it's funny because I actually, in New York, when we were promoting the game a few weeks ago, I had a lady that came in, and she said that she actually used to hang out at Max's Kansas City. And I said, well, great, we'll take a look at it and tell me what you think. Is it pretty close? And she actually thought it was pretty close, which was good.
That's not bad at all. Now, this is obviously going to work with your existing Guitar Hero guitars, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
So you just kind of, you buy the game, which is going to be out at the end of the month, and you drop it in. Let's walk through some of the, what are some of the set lists? I don't want you to go through it word for word, but just give me some of the hits that we're gonna see here, some of the greatest Aerosmith hits.
Well, you know, the first thing we want to do, it's still Guitar Hero, so we had to have, like, great guitar playing songs. You know, Aerosmith has a lot of great songs to play, but some of them aren't exactly very guitar heavy, so we tried to stay away from that stuff. We got a lot of great stuff, you know, like, you know, Draw the Line, Walk This Way, Sweet Emotion, Dream On, Love in an Elevator. I mean, there's so many songs from so many different Aerosmith eras in there. It's a lot to take in.
It's also, what have you learned, you know, from the previous Guitar Hero? What have you learned, and how have you tweaked the gameplay for people?
Yeah, one of the things we received a lot of feedback on from the previous game was that, you know, a lot of people felt that it was too hard. And I don't really think the game was too hard. I think that it became too hard too quickly for most people.
Mm-hmm.
There was sort of like a brick wall that some people were hitting, you know, where they just couldn't get past certain things. So we spent a lot more time trying to do this nice, smooth, linear ramp to try and ease people into the difficulty of the game. There's still some pretty hard stuff in there, and I think it's a lot of challenge level. But you won't feel slammed and feel like you have to quit. You feel like, oh, it's just, you know, I just got to play a little bit better, then I can get past it, then a little better, a little better. It'll feel a bit more natural.
So there's a little bit of change there. What about the multiplayer?
The multiplayer modes are still there. We still have, you know, battle mode, which is actually a real popular online mode. We have, you know, face-off and pro face-off, and all those things are online. We have co-op play. All that stuff is still there.
That's good to hear, because I know a lot of people are still playing it online. They love those modes and going up against other folks around the world. So I know that they're really excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. We would have no reason to take that out. So we got to leave that in there.
Now, you talked about earlier on about working with the band. What was that experience like, working with the band, getting them in to do some motion capture so that you'd have, you know, I mean, I don't know how many of those little white ping pong balls you had to put on Steven Tyler's lips, but I'm sure it was quite a few. But what was it like working with the band?
You know, Steven Tyler and the rest of the guys are, you know, they're meticulous. They've had, 30 years to work out their brand and their identity and all the things that make them who they are. So they're very meticulous about the kinds of stuff that they need, and they really pushed us in great directions in terms of, like, getting performances and cameras and just in general, like, you know, just rock star 101, right?
Right.
I mean, like, Steven Tyler really wants a camera on and stage with him when he's performing, so we actually put a motion capture camera, a guy with a camera that had the little white balls on it, on stage with him so that he could perform to and with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a lot of time doing stuff like that. And so I think one of the things you're going to see immediately when you get into the first venues, besides the venues look great and they, you know, probably even better than GH3, is that, you know, the performances are way more dynamic. The camera angles are way more dynamic. The motion capture is more dynamic because it's these guys and it's their actual performances. And so, you know, short of, like, going to a concert or being in the band, I don't think you're going to get a better Aerosmith experience.
The one thing I also have heard is, you know, you've got all the hits, Sweet Emotion, Walk This Way, and so forth, but there's also an original song in here. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we have a boss battle in this game as well. You go up against Joe Perry because, you know, obviously he's a Guitar Hero. So we went to his studio, The Boneyard, which is, like, in his garage. But it's actually like a real full-on studio, you know, like Cheap Trick. They recorded their last album there. But we went there, and Joe just laid down, you know, just a classic riff, classic Joe Perry riff, and just started doing some crazy soloing over the top of it. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So you actually get to play, you know, this again. It's not a song that you're going to hear anywhere else, but it's an original song that's on the game.
Absolutely, a full Joe Perry composition.
That's kind of cool. Well, listen, guys, I appreciate you telling me about it. One more thing before I let you go. Let's talk about the achievements. What can we expect in the achievement space?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of the, you know, same standard achievements, but the, you know, like, you know, getting a 100-note streak in the game, you know, stuff you've seen from Guitar Hero 3.
Yep.
But one of the cool things this time is we've named them all after Aerosmith albums and Aerosmith songs. So, like, getting a 100-note streak, you know, you get one called Cheesecake. You know, getting a 500-note streak with in in career, it's called, you get a crazy one. But then we have some cool fun ones, like, you know, failing a song 10 times, you get the Night in the Ruts achievement, which is an Aerosmith album. Also, if you play a song with Izzy Sparks as your guitar player, you get Dude Looks Like a Lady. There's a lot of cool, fun stuff like in there just based off the band. I think fans of the band will really appreciate it.
So anybody who's an Aerosmith fan, really, and a Guitar Hero fan, I mean, they've got to be in Nirvana when they pick this up towards the end of the month. It's going to be in stores at, on June 29th, available everywhere that better games are sold. Listen, guys, I appreciate your time. Alan and Aaron, we look forward to seeing the game.
All right, thanks for having us on.
Joining me on the line from Chicago is Alex Ropian. Alex, thank you for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you are the big guy at Wide Load Games, which is coming out with a brand new title called Hail to the Chimp, which is coming out this week, correct?
That's right, on Tuesday.
Now give us a little peek into what is Hail to the Chimp, because a lot of people look at this and they kind of cock their head and go, "What's going on here?"
Well, you know, first and foremost, it's a party game, so it's a easy to pick up, fun multiplayer, competitive and cooperative game that you can play with, you know, three other people on the couch or online. And each game that you play is you know, maybe 5 minutes long, and you can play through a variety of environments and game rules. And it's designed to be just, you know, quick pick up and play. Anybody can figure it out. Fun, but it's actually a lot deeper than just that, as we've wrapped it in this world of animal politics.
Yeah, what does that mean, animal politics? Because a lot of people look at this and they think that, you know, obviously it's an election year, so you're getting a little bit of a lift around what's going on there. But what is it? What's going on with the animal politics there?
Well, when we started, we decided we wanted the characters to be these anthropomorphic animals. You know, I grew up on Bugs Bunny and Looney Tunes, and there's something very I find interesting in interjecting these human personalities into these non-human characters. And we were looking for a theme to tie that all together. And the main mechanic of the game is this idea of team-up, where any two players at any moment could just team up. It results in this super move that benefits those two players, and then it lasts for like 10 seconds. And afterwards, it's back to every man for himself. So you get this kind of shifting alliances going back and forth where, you know, somebody will be like, "Oh, that dude's in the lead. Let's team up against him." And then right afterwards, they're like back to beating each other up. And we decided that, I mean, we came up with a bunch of themes, but as soon as we thought, well, gee, you know, that kind of political backstabbing is kind of like politics. And we thought, hey, wouldn't it be funny if these animals were holding an election? And then we're like, well, gee, wouldn't it be really funny if we could present that all through the eyes of this fake animal CNN? And the idea is just kind of kept flowing.
Yeah, and you actually, it's interesting because I played a little bit of the first level, or the first round, and it's exactly like that. You know, you've got a CNN, I don't want to give away too much, but you got a CNN anchor, there's a ticker going across the bottom of the screen. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, especially doing research for, you know, like the attack ads. It's hilarious, just the stuff politicians will put on the air, and then, you know, when you make animals say it, it becomes even more absurd.
Yeah, anytime animals are saying anything, it's kind of crazy. So that's once you introduce this, the circus that is real world politics into it, it gets even crazy. Now, a lot of people may, you know, you've got this really interesting game coming up, but a lot of people may not know this, but you're also responsible for another, a couple of small titles that have been out there. And can you go through your history in game development?
Sure. Well, I got into game development when I was in college, I started Bungie Studios, which, of course, developer of Halo. And we were, you know, based here in Chicago, and we made quite a few games starting on the Mac. Probably our most popular before Halo was the Marathon series.
Which I have to thank you personally for, because when you were developing that, you know, I was on the Mac platform at that time. And it was like, because there were, in those days, there were no games for the Mac.
Yeah, that's right. We were totally cutting edge.
But it wasn't just because you decided to do something on a different platform, but there were a lot of elements to the games that were really, really groundbreaking.
Yeah, no, Marathon was pretty cool. I think, you know, one of the things we were most proud of with Marathon was just how we weaved a story into it to give a shooter game basically, you know, like a soul, you know, a reason for being. So, after Marathon, we did some strategy games called Myth, and we also did an action game called Oni, and after that we started working on Halo.
Which became a monster in its own right on a lot of levels.
Yeah, it kind of grew beyond our expectations, that's for sure.
And then of course you came here to you know when Microsoft bought you guys, you came and worked here for a while, and then you broke off and did your own. You created Wide Load Games, correct?
Yeah, in I guess it's been almost 5 years now. I came back to Chicago to start a family, and after a little bit of hanging out, decided to get back into making games and started up Wide Load. And the first project that we shipped at Wide Load was Doves the Zombie, which is just been released on Xbox Live Originals.
Yeah, you can actually download Stubbs the Zombie on Xbox Live Originals. And that also, that includes, that works on the Halo engine, correct?
Yeah. Our, you know, friends at Bungie were kind enough to let us use the Halo engine, so that's how we built Stubbs.
Yeah, it's a fun game. You should definitely go take a look at that. But getting back, I want to get back to Hail to the Chimp. Let's talk about the writing, because politics, you know, you talked about some of the ads and so forth. How was this written?
Well, we have a dedicated writing staff here, and when I say staff, I mean one guy, Matt Sell, who's our lead writer. But because of the way that we're set up, we're a production studio, so we have all the disciplines of game making here: programmers, artists, designers, producers, and a writer. But we also work with other developers to add to that talent pool. So we went out and hired a bunch of writers to work with Matt. Some of which came from The Onion. We had a guy who worked on Daily Show. So we got a bunch of writers who had a lot of experience doing this kind of thing, and they really thought this would be a fun project. So that worked out pretty well.
That's exciting. It's also available. It's going to be available on the Xbox 360 this week. It's also shipping on the PS3, so you've got a couple of platforms there for you. Now, before I let you go, Alex, I want to talk to you about the game with Dev that's coming out, right?
That's right.
So that's going to be, people are actually, so there's an online component to Hail to the Chimp, and you are going to be online next month to be playing people. Is that correct?
That's right.
So can you give me a few details about that?
Yeah, well, we'll be, I believe it's Friday, July 11th. My gamer tag for that will be GWD Wide Load Alex.
Okay. Game with Dev Wide Load Alex.
That's right. And there'll be a few of us here that'll be hopping online to play.
So it gives folks plenty of time to take a look at the game and get good at the online on the online's version. They can, of course, come in, and as usual, a lot of the developers get their rear ends kicked by the community, because the community has a lot of time to spend. You know, you guys are working on your next title and so forth, and you know the community's out there playing the games and getting good at them.
Yeah, the one thing we will have, I'm not sure how many people out there will have, is we'll have profiles with all the flair unlocked. So it'll be a nice chance for us to slap some flair onto some of the fans.
Explain the flair for people that aren't aware of what you guys
so
have done.
So there's a few hundred items in the game that you can unlock and just use as costumes for your character. You know, real funny stuff like Santa hats or balls and chains, you know, stuff like that. So, and you can put stuff on your head, on your torso, on your feet, but you also have this thing called a slap box where you can put a piece of flair in there, and then when you run up to another player, you can slap it on them. So it's kind of a way to trade. So we'll basically be handing out flair.
You'll be handing out flair, which is always fun because the community loves stuff like that.
Sure.
It looks like a fun game. I look forward to spending more time with it this week. We're going to look for you with the game with Dev next month. And congratulations on shipping. This is your second title, right? Because Stubbs was the first and Hail to the Chimp is the second.
That's right.
That's so. Congratulations on that. We're going to look for more stuff from Wide Load. Alex, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. And again, congratulations on shipping the game.
Hey, thanks a lot.
It is my distinct pleasure. Joining me via the phone today is the legendary Mr. Don King. Don, thank you for coming on the show.
Larry, it's just a pleasure to be on your show and to tell the people about the new game Don King Presents Prize Fighters, which will be very interesting and quite exciting in life. So let's get to the videotape and let's talk about it, Larry, and find out what it is, how it is, and why it is that this game I tout as superb to any other game in history.
It is truly exciting. It's available right now on the Xbox 360 from our good friends at 2K Sports. Don, tell me what some people can expect in the game. I mean, it feels like you're really going to live the boxing lifestyle.
Well, here's what the boxing lifestyle is truly. The lifestyle that you live. It's a transition, and you can vicariously live whatever endeavor you are pursuing you can do it in this Bronteen Presents Prize Fighter, because Prize Fighter really is a life experience. And what it is, the intricacies and the complexities of this game is the same thing that you run up against in life. And so how you play it, how you deal with it is according to how your mood, your attitude, your morals, your ability to be able to say, as Jim McKay, you know, is the snatch victory, you know, or the agony of, or what did he say, is the saying that he had, you know, the victory of, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Now, if you're going to be a defeatist, you know, this game can enhance your defeatist attitude into a more positive saying, yes, I can, when everyone else said, no, you can't. So it's a good boxing game, but it's a life game. It's in a foot race of life, but you're using it with boxing gloves, and but it really is teaching you to say, you know, I can do it in America, the land of opportunity. Me, I believe, I have faith in God, I can rise to the occasion.
Now, there's, I mean, you can play as a lot of folks, and there's a lot of famous boxers and celebrities in this game. Who are just some of the names that people are going to run across?
You're going to run across a legendary figure named Larry Holmes, who was just inducted into the Hall of Fame last weekend in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. And you're going to have Shannon Briggs. You know, he's the only asthmatic champion in history, a guy who has asthma, an acute asthma, but being able to utilize that asthma as a stepping stone and going and saying, yes, I can, even though I'm handicapped in breathing, I can still go out there and become heavyweight champion of the world. That means you can make it in life. When you have those type of attitudes, you can make it in life, so we got the characters that are there. And then you're going to have guys that, it gives you a prelim of Joe Louis and Rocky Marciano, as guys who actually fought. And I recall the story with Rocky Marciano when Isaac Charles had beaten him, busted his nose, you know, to the bone. And it was like a gory situation, and the referee goes over and says, Rocky, I'm about to stop it. And Rocky says, give me one more round. You know what I mean? And they say, and the referee gives him that round. He goes out the next round and he knocks out Isaac Charles. I mean, it would have been, if you went along with anything else, you would be thinking, he wouldn't have got it. The referee going to stop it. My nose is bleeding. I'm looking for personal safety. This is a thing where you dig deep down inside and you pull out that never say die attitude, that attitude that says, yes, I can, but at the same time, the action and your drive, your determination, your focus, your discipline enables you to overcome what would ordinarily be a devastating injury, and that you would be able to give up and say, I can justify the injury by looking at me, you know what I mean? But no, we're not looking for excuses. We're looking for results. You got a kid named Pavlik who's just now coming into his being, currently fighting, and is becoming more devastating each day as he goes into the ring and fighting in real life. Coming out of Youngstown, a great, great following, but more importantly to himself, everything in his game is directed to you, the player. You know what I mean? What's your drive? What's your focus? What's your determination? And then you put the combination of punches and bunches together to try to make it happen. But then you think vicariously, making the transition in life, taking away the boxing gloves, how am I going to make it in the job? What is my business opportunities? Well, if I don't keep on hounding this guy, will I be able to get him to come to the table and close the deal? You know, these are the things that is being taught here, because this is an actual life experience.
Don, it's really exciting to have your a man of your talent bring this to the video game industry. What was it like creating this video game?
It was exciting because, you know, the one thing was a guy named Steve Glickstein, who came to me to make this deal. I have been approached from many from all type of game makers to come and get it, but they always want to doctor it up and make it something that it isn't in order to be able to exciting and provocative. But herein lies this guy, Glickstein, with his integrity and his honesty. I opted to go with him to participate with Matthew Solomon, who was a great game maker. And so with Venom and 2K Sports, they put the game together based upon my life experiences and the experiences of all these great fighters that's in there, like Cal Zaki, who was not known. Frank Warren took this guy. At one time, nobody wouldn't give him a car fare to get on a streetcar with. But Frank stuck with him, and now he's become a fanfare. You know, he's become exciting and provocative. Sam Peter, a kid out of Nigeria, who's now the current heavyweight champion of the world, he's the guy that come out of Nigeria, out of Akwa Ibom, estate, you know what I mean? And now he's demonstrating to the world that if given opportunity, he can rise to the occasion. He knocks out Oleg Maskev, who knocked out Rahman. And it's, these are the type of life experiences that give the determination to a person that's playing this game while it's provocative and exciting, and he has an opponent he got to take on. And to beat this opponent, he has to be able to have that determination, that will to win, in spite of everyone else saying that you can't win and you're handicapped and you can't make it. So it's a confusion, and the frustration is the same frustration you have with your daily chores, your daily endeavors that you're trying to pursue, the goal you're trying to achieve. So it's likened to that. So when you get frustrated, you're only getting frustrated at yourself. When you say it's got the many people up at the reviews and say the button mashing and different things, that's the technology that the game is ranked 2 to 4. But it's a thing here that when you're working with something like that, you can be able to do it. And I made a mistake. I said Matthew Solomon. His name is Matthew Seymour. You know, he's the game producer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a thing here that the excitement is there, and you can see these guys that are currently fighting, and the guys who were yesteryear with Ken Norton, Larry Holmes, these type of people that will be fighting. But it goes to the ilk of a Muhammad Ali or Joe Frazier, when everyone said that Muhammad Ali had no chance, you know, against Sonny Liston. You know what I mean? And then he was brash. He was big mouth. He was loquacious. He couldn't do it, but he did it. And then when he fought George Foreman, they said George Foreman would destroy him. You know, and so me putting that match together with the Rumble in the Jungle, it truth is stranger than fiction. Ali comes in and beats George Foreman. It was heralded as, you know, a classic that is going to be talked about now over and over and over and over again. But it's because not only the fighter and his skills and his talent are doing it, but that determination, that focus, that ability and capability to say, yes, I can, and then carry it through talk to talk and walk to walk.
Now, Don, I was looking, you know, you talked about the Rumble in the Jungle, and you're absolutely right. That was one of the most unbelievable boxing events in history. I mean, it was really extraordinary. And you work with some of the greatest talent in boxing, and you've gone around the world. I noticed in the game, you can play in a lot of these boxing venues where must have been exciting for you to, you know, you've played in Madison Square Garden, in the Taj Mahal, and the Boardwalk Hall, and many others. It must have been great for you to see them represented on you're on the Xbox 360 and in the game. That's got to be interesting.
That is so exciting because it's bringing reality to the world, and it's really bringing a life story that all these places that I've played at, that's what makes this game so unique, rare, and wonderful. You're talking about reality. You're not talking about a screenwriter writing a play and doing a fiction and come out of his mind. That's the achievement of that person in a fictional point of view. But here you are talking about real life that is so truth is stranger than fiction, man. It's phenomenal. You know what I mean? In reality, it's altogether different from what you think it would be. You know what I mean? And what things happen. That's what makes life so unpredictable. And so what you're dealing with, that unpredictableness, and you're dealing with your skill, your talent, your drive, and it gets you where, you know, when you get down and out and you get frustrated, you don't know whether to throw a left hook or a left jab. You don't know whether to throw a right cross or a body shot. That's when you come in, you know, whatever you're doing. You got to be able to say, yes, I can, and then you go out and you do it. You rise to the occasion. When you're almost knocked out and you look like you have nowhere to go, you know what I mean, that inner drive tells you, you got to get up and go out there and do this, you know, because you can't call time out. You can't send in a substitute. If you run out of gas, there's no gas station in sight. You got to be able to deal with your problems, and your problem is right before your eyes. And so it's a problem dealer, and the excitement of all these guys' lives is indicative to what really, really happened. And so it makes it quite exciting when you see it in a game and it's being played in your game, your life against theirs, or whatever their achievement is, and their goal is to try to beat you, and you got to go up against guys that have beaten many. I mean, so it's something that it has an intellectual capacity, but more importantly, it has that human quality of saying that you can do things when everybody else thinks that you can't do them, even to your own self, your self-doubt, but you take the face of your ability, your capability, and you drive it home, man.
Don, it's, you know, you've had some of the you've worked with some of the greatest fighters over your years that have fought the most amazing fights. How, you know, and now you can do that on a video game. How has technology impacted the boxing industry over the past 30 or 40 years?
Technology is just amazing. It has impacted the world. I mean, you can have lunch in Tokyo and dinner in California. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's dwarfed it. You know, time has been dwarfed in technology by bringing the jets and the things that can get to one place to another where you can be able to do things and make the whole world a neighborhood. And so this technology that's being utilized today is amazing. And when they can put it together in a form where you can relive, you know, the excitement of yesteryear, you know, today, you know what I mean, to see the swiftness of the punches, the replays, the things that are slow motion, and the things that you can say that you would never see, the gesticulations and the things that happen in a person's life, the attitudes, the knockdowns, that you have to get back up, dust yourself off, get back into the game of life, and keep on playing till you're a winner, because everybody's a winner if they dedicate, commit themselves to hard work.
Yeah, I want to talk about
determination.
I want to ask you, before I let you go, Don, what can you give somebody who's listening right now who wants to get into boxing? I mean, boxing is the purest form, purest sport, because it's two grown men in a ring with nothing between them except some gloves there. What do you give somebody who wants to get into boxing and really wants to become one of the greatest fighters of all times?
Well, you know, you have to be hungry, and you have to have this desire. Boxing is a skill. It is the exaltation of physical fitness and being able to deal with it. If you're a guy that don't want to work, you can't make it in boxing. You know what I mean? You got the greatest skills in the world, but if you can have all the skills in the world and you don't be able to prepare to succeed, then you prepare to fail. And that to prepare to succeed, that means you got to have hard work, dedication, and commitment. But it all goes to performance. It doesn't matter how much time you put in, how much effort you put in, or how much money you put in. If you don't perform, it is irrelevant and immaterial. So if a person is going into boxing and he's committed to going out there to use his skills for the best of his ability, and then over and above the best of his ability, be able to dig deep down inside and bring out that innate quality that everyone has, but very few people utilize. They never call upon it because they give up and they give in. So the theme here would be, you know, you are in it to win it. You can't give in, you can't give up, and you can't quit. Victory is yours if you dedicate and commit yourself to whatever you're doing, and especially so when it's physical fitness and you're using physical powers where you don't get an education from Yale, Harvard, Cambridge, Oxford, and you know, be able to do it, but within yourself you say, I'm a winner. And you are a winner if you believe that you're a winner and you have the faith in God to say, give me the strength, Lord, to be able to carry out the goal of my achievement. Let your will be done. And then you step in there with God on your side and you go out there and you accomplish and achieve the goal that you set out to do.
Well, Don, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today about your brand new game, Don King Prize Fighter. It's available right now on the Xbox 360. I know some folks are excited to pick it up and get in the ring. And I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today, Don.
Larry, it's just a pleasure, an honor, and a privilege, and I'm so happy that you can tell the fans and the friends and all the gamers. And what you're doing is you're going to a youth as well as an aged audience, because everybody who has experiences in life and all those who want to start out in life early on, you know, the focus thing is focus and discipline. You know, you have three words, adapt, improvise, and overcome. They use these in military cliches and things. But it all boils down to determination, focus, discipline, you know what I mean, and a desire to win that is unwavering. And when you do that, you can apply that boxing, because it's really in the foot race of life that's what you're going to be encountering. So now when you're in a boxing ring, yet those skills, they come into play from your physical prowess and your physical fitness to be able to hit and not get hit, or to be able to do an operation, so to speak, the upper cardiovascular region. They go to the cranium, go back down to the liver, the spleen. You're really like Dr. Kildare or somebody. You're operating, and you're operating in a game of life where you're having fun. And always remember, this is a fun game because you get a chance to play a return match. You know what I mean? You get a chance to go out. If you lose, you got a chance to go back and win. So you go and you treat it as fun, but in so doing, you begin it. You become indoctrinated into the qualities and the embodiments of life that will make your race in life a success and make you a winner. Discipline, focus, you know what I mean, desire to win, will to win, and the continuation, in spite of it, when everybody else says you should be a defeatist, you say, I'm going to be a winner.
There you go. Don King, thanks so much.
God bless, Larry, and have a good one, man. Thanks so much.
All right, there you go. That's the Stacco interviews for this week. It's like I said earlier, it's a cavalcade of gaming stars, and I want to thank them all for coming by and kind of talking about their new games. You know, all those games sound fantastic. All of them available on the Xbox 360, and go ahead and look for those very, very soon. Now, at this point, we usually play Name the Game, and that's exactly what I'm going to do right now. So let me go ahead and roll the Name the Game sound from last week. All right, that was Kung Fu Panda. Kung Fu Panda, congratulations to everybody that got that correct. I'm going to pull one person right now, and I'm going to give them a very cool Turtle Beach headset. So here we go. The gamer tag that won is Headlamp, although lamp is spelled kind of funny, but I think it means lamp. Headlamp King, congratulations. You got yourself a nice Turtle Beach headset there. I'll be in touch with you on how to send you that. And then that, of course, sets us up for another Name the Game. All right, if you think you know what that sound is, very simple. Email me, major@xbox.com, major@xbox.com. Let me know what you think that is. It is a released Xbox or Xbox 360 game. I don't take any audio from demos or unreleased games, but that game has been released. So that's the most important thing to know there. All right, so the other thing we also usually do is Xbox 101. But again, since E isn't here and that's kind of his feature, I'm going to kind of skate on that, and I'm going to take an excuse and not do that. So there you go. That's what I'm not doing there. In fact, I'm probably just going to end up, I'm going to wrap up the show here because it, you know, I worked all week putting all those interviews together. So it's, I'm you know, that's the way it is. E will be back next week. So we'll get E on next week and get him back in here, get the show back to its, back on normal track. It's always fun doing it, you know, doing it by myself because that's the way I used to do the show. I originally was going to get KP, and those of you on the community know KP. He used to work with the guys over at Bungie. Now he works for us on Xbox.com, and unfortunately he couldn't join me because he's too busy playing Shadowrun. So maybe I can get him on next time. And I was going to try to get Trixie in here. She's out of town, so it's like, you know what? It's one of those things where I want to sit down, get the show together, get all those, get all the interviews out, and have a little bit of fun here. So, all right, I'm going to bail out now because I'm going to go play a little bit of Battlefield. I will let you guys go. I want to thank our friends at Centricom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment. Also, I'd like to thank our good friends at CashFly for also providing similar things for my podcast. So, this is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading my show. Have fun, play fair, and send feedback. And I'll probably talk to you soon. Bye-bye.